Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you all so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing parentification, the parentified child. Parentification is defined as the process of role reversal, whereby a child or adolescent is obliged to act as a parent to their own parent or sibling. Now, parentification is very common in homes where there is parental neglect and where there is immature, selfish, or narcissistic parents. Many victims of parentification are completely unconscious of it while they are experiencing this form of abuse. Now, only years later, when they see the damage that this has caused to their sense of self, their self-esteem, their relationship life, can they see the true devastating effects and impact that parentification has had on their lives. So in today's podcast episode, I want to discuss why some parents engage in parentification. I want to discuss the impact and damaging effects that this has on victims of this type of abuse. And finally, I'm going to offer some tips on how to overcome being a victim of parentification. To begin, many parents are not aware of the fact that they have parentified their child. In many instances, it's done quite unconsciously. In these instances, there's also a high chance that this was done to them as children, and therefore it is something that's multi-generational and largely unconscious. Now, when a parent is parentifying their child, it is because they are fundamentally unable or unwilling to care for the child's needs. As a result of this, the child is being physically or emotionally neglected. So the child, in their desperate need to get their needs met, to be accepted by the offending parent, will conclude that if they can become of service to the caretaker, if they could become a caretaker to the needy parent, it will assure their survival. So they're going to see caring for the parent as a way to gain approval, acceptance, and love from the parent, i.e. this is how they're going to get their needs met. This becomes a strategy, a sort of intention. Now, the tragedy here is that the child cannot fathom the true nature of the neglect and falsely comes to the conclusion that it is because of something that they have done or that they have not done. So they're going to work very hard to get back into the parent's favor in order to fall back into grace with the parent, and ultimately, by doing so, they're going to get their needs met. So a parent, an abusive parent who sees this playing out, will use this child's plea and drive for approval, for acceptance, for getting their needs met against them, and they're only going to offer the child's approval or meet their needs when they are acting as a caretaker to them, when they are doing what they want them to do selfishly. Eventually, this becomes an assumed role in the family dynamics, and the child is going to grow into the position of caretaker, and then the abusive parent becomes the taker, becomes being taken care of by this child. Now, because a child has a naturally and deeply all-consuming love for a parent, a child naturally will want to please the parent. Now, when a child sees that their parent is needy, helpless, or sad, then the child's first instinct is to try and help them. And this drive also gets used against the child because no amount of caring for the parent by the child can make up for the fact that the truth of the matter is that the parent is neglecting themselves and not necessarily taking responsibility for their own lives. So the parent is, in essence, being irresponsible to themselves. And again, the child falsely assumes that they can change this for the parent, but ultimately they cannot. So in this instance, the child's deep love for the parent is used to care for the parent, and then essentially it's rendering them the adult or the caretaker to this immature and irresponsible parent. Now, furthermore, a child, in order to develop, a child needs basic needs, most specifically safety and protection, in order to develop a sense of self, to be a child, in essence. So a parent's responsibility to meet these needs is arguably the most basic, these needs of safety and protection. So a child who's being neglected is not having these needs met. These needs are being neglected, and they do not have the necessary safety to be a child. So the development of this child is being interrupted as a result. So the child will then work tirelessly to be there for the parent so that they can meet the parent's needs. And then in return, they can get these basic needs met, safety, protection, and then ultimately continuing the developmental process. And oftentimes they're completely unaware of this as a child. So in essence, the child is doing what they can to assure that the bond with the parent is strong so that they can get from the parent in exchange protection and safety that they desperately need. So the idea here is that the child is working to gain favor in the parent's eyes by taking care of them so that then the child could relax, feel safe, and ultimately be a child. So this pursuit is obviously futile, and eventually this becomes a habit and a way of life, which then pushes the child continuously into the role of a caregiver. Now, when a parent is parentifying their child, the child is usually fully motivated to engage in such a dynamics. And this is why it's so confusing for the child and later on the adult to come to the realization that they were in fact a victim of parentification, of this form of neglect, of abuse. So in this instance, they are unaware that they should be protected by the parent from engaging in age inappropriate relationship roles. So the parent should ideally have enough awareness that this is going on and protect the child from their own immaturity, their own reactivity, their own unmet needs, their own pain, their own neediness, and unresolved inner chaos. So they are the ones that should have seen this dynamics playing itself out and assure that it does not happen. They are not, however, they're not taking responsibility for the child being forced into this role. In essence, they are not protecting the child from being parentified. So let's talk about the damaging effects of being parentified. And there are many different symptoms, and many of them are very quite subtle and often don't show up until later on in life, most specifically when we enter into intimate relationships of our own. So the parentified child is usually riddled with guilt for never being enough for the offending parent. They often blame themselves for not being able to please the offending parent, and oftentimes yearn or fantasize about a time in the future when they will finally be able to be there for the parent and meet all their needs. So this deep yearning becomes the source of a savior complex, where victims look for, later on in life, for people to save, particularly intimate partners, immature, even toxic or abusive partners, often at the expense of their own well-being. So in essence, victims of parentification feel responsible for everyone else's happiness and well-being except their own. Furthermore, there's usually a strong identification with the offending parent, a fusion of sorts. So victims give up their own identity to become the person that the offending parents would want them to be. And they usually have a very difficult time knowing and being able to discern or knowing the line between them and the offending parent, seeing them as the parent as sort of one codependent unit. They will become entirely wrapped up with the parent's emotions, entirely enmeshed. Now, victims of parentification will usually be highly responsible, even to extreme levels as an adult. They will also be highly independent or extremely independent to a fault, and rarely will they ask for help, and they will oftentimes go to great lengths to not need people because ultimately they are burdened by the smothering effects of having an enmeshing sort of abusive parentifying parent. Now, they will usually put others first. So this is very much the case with those who have been parentified. They've been sort of groomed to assure that everyone else is okay before they can take care of themselves. They will usually see their self-worth as highly dependent on how other people see them and based on their accomplishments, most particularly their ability to be of service to other people. So in essence, they are codependent, usually highly codependent on other people, seeing themselves as only existing in the context of a relationship with other people and their ability to give. Furthermore, there's usually going to be a very strong love-hate relationship with the offending parent, right? Extreme love and desire to please the parent mixed with extreme hate and rage toward what the parent has done to them. Victims will often feel like they were forced to grow up too soon without realizing it. They became adults and not necessarily knowing how it happened. They just subtly over time just became responsible for everything. And like the weight of the world is on their shoulders. You know, oftentimes they feel like they just have bricks on them, constantly weighing them down. Victims will often feel intense envy towards other children who seem to have had decent childhoods and whose parents are attentive and loving. This is at the core a reflection of what is being deprived from the child, and ultimately not a reflection of poor character on the part of the victim. In addition, victims are going to feel that their childhood was stolen from them, as if they weren't really given a chance to be a child. Again, not necessarily sure how it happened, but just the feeling that they have is that they're not really able to be a child, to be free, to be playful, and to be innocent, and to be immature in a sense. Victims will often suffer from severe guilt of having needs at all, rendering all needs selfish and needy, ultimately not taking care of their own needs necessarily, and always taking care of other needs as a result. They're usually very capable people. People who are victims of parent negation are very capable, have no problem stepping into responsibility and taking care of things, but they're also riddled with extreme low self-worth. So this sort of inner emptiness and almost like a loss of their soul, a soul loss, as victims rarely know their own feelings and inner wants, needs, and desires. They're usually, again, very, very much escaping their inner world and neglecting their own inner world in replacement of other people. Furthermore, they will have an extremely tight relationship with the offending parent. This is especially early on. That usually continues into adulthood, where they tell this parent everything. The parent confides in them in extremely personal and age-inappropriate matters. In essence, they become a spouse, like a little husband or a little wife. And this is also where you see partners who are not getting their needs met through their partner will oftentimes lean on their children and pull them into age-inappropriate roles to then be a partner. Now, if you can relate to this, you are certainly not alone. This phenomenon is highly common in enmeshed, codependent, narcissistic family dynamics. So the following are a couple of tips to recover from being a victim of parentification, being the parentified child. Firstly, we need to admit that we are a victim of parentification, of this abuse. As long as we are pedestaling our abusive parent or defending their behavior, we're in essence unable to see the abuse for what it is. And when we are doing this, we are usually just trying to protect the abuser and keep ourselves distant or defended against the necessary truth, as painful as it is, from our conscious awareness. And when we are doing this, we are in denial, and ultimately we cannot heal from what we do not accept responsibility for. In addition, we need to accept responsibility for the damage done through this type of child-parent relationship. Minimizing it, denying it, or trivializing it really does nothing to heal it. We need to understand that even though we chose to go along with the abuse on some level, we were motivated to engage in it, that doesn't make us less of a victim or make it our fault in any way. As a child, it's a responsibility by our primary caregivers to be protected. They have the responsibility to be self-aware enough to know when a child is being pulled into an inappropriate role, an inappropriate dynamic, and ultimately being parentified. This essentially was missing. So this being able to protect the child, it was not there. And through no fault of the child, it was not the child's responsibility to be a parent to their parent and to meet the needs in any way, shape, or form. Furthermore, we need to feel the pain of being betrayed by a parent who we trusted. So we need to feel that rage, the shame, the whatever emotions come up, the pain of the injustice of having a childhood stolen from us and the inability to be innocent and having our innocence robbed at a very young age. If we do ignore the sheer gravity of this type of betrayal, in essence, we just keep ourselves stuck without the necessary grieving that is a requirement so that we can really mourn the loss of our childhood and our ability to be a child and to be innocent. In addition, we need to let go of the idea that we could save, fix, or solve other people's pain. We need to sort of break up with the idea that it is our responsibility to save people from doing their inner work, right? We can help people and we can guide them, but ultimately we cannot make choices for other people. And along these lines, we need to become our own healer. We need to become our own sort of savior. We need to, in essence, give ourselves what wasn't given to us further on. We cannot find worth and value through the validation and acceptance of others. We need to do this by unconditionally accepting and loving and validating ourselves. By doing this, the more we do this, the freer we're going to be from the crippling disease to please, to be what others want us to be, and the sooner we can start to enjoy the peace that comes from truly embracing our own authenticity and presence without needing to be anything but our authentic selves. So to conclude, recovery from being a parentified child is truly difficult work. It's deep work. In many ways, our whole personality, our whole entire sense of self-worth is built around our ability to please our offending parent. And when this is the case, we grow into adults that are people pleasers, codependent, and we attract people who are just like our offending parent, in essence, to replay the unresolved childhood relationships with our abusive, selfish, and narcissistic, neglectful parent. So when we go on a healing journey to repair our inner world, we are going to be in a much better position to be independent, to be whole. We're going to be much more self-aware, much more self-accepting, self-loving. And this is going to set us up to attract people who reflect this back to us, and thus enhancing our intimate relationships and our relationships on all levels. So if you were a parent of our child, you know, you did not have a childhood. You were forced to grow up too soon and you had your innocence robbed. And that being said, it's never too late to get in touch with the hurt, confused, shame-based, betrayed, and wounded inner child and give them a childhood and give them the safety, the love, the playfulness, the joy that he or she didn't get and restore him or her to innocence. And this is really the nature of inner child healing that is so necessary, because in essence, we are in need of parents. And when we are unable to have a childhood with parents who are there, caregivers who are attuned and meeting our needs, then we are always yearning for that. And we still have these unmet needs of childhood that go unmet until we step into the role of the parent that we should have had and become what we needed early on, and ultimately nurture our inner world, nurture our inner child, giving him or her the safety, the acceptance, the unconditional love, and the validation that he or she needs, so that he can integrate and become a part of our daily life. If we do not do this, in essence, we keep attracting people who humiliate us, people who we pedestal, and then ultimately use these unmet needs against us. And ultimately, we keep repeating that pattern until we do take responsibility for becoming the parent to our child within and healing him or her. So if you are a victim of parentification, if you have been the parent of our child, then this podcast episode probably very much resonated with you. You are certainly not alone, and it would be an absolute honor to work with you to help you identify the damage, the wounds caused by a parent who is engaging in parentification. So feel free to reach out to me directly. It'd be an honor to work with you. My email is yitz@magnoliahealingcenter.com. My phone, 818-210-6049. Thank you all so very much for joining me for today's episode. Until next time, all the best.